Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Now, as we've been looking at this verse, we've been spending a few weeks looking at the aspect of sanctification and what it is that the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to these saints at Thessalonica. And we looked at how, when we talk about sanctification, that there's two aspects to the sanctification. There's the positional sanctification of who we are after we have put our trust in the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and our simple trust in that and that alone, which gives us our salvation, that the moment that we have done that, that there is a positional sanctification that occurs of where we are set apart for the use of God in this dispensation. And we looked at some of those aspects, and then we shifted into a discussion of the practical side of things. And that's where we're going to finish up with some of those things today, with that aspect of how it is that, you know, we have a position, but there's a goal that God has of where we would live up to that position that we have. So as we continue looking at this, let's go over to Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to see how, as Paul is speaking to these saints at Rome, that he's going to be giving them some of the information that they need, laying out a foundation for them. You know, he discusses the justification of an individual. He shifts in chapter number 6, talking about the sanctification of individuals. And here we have him saying some things here that really kind of go against what most of Christianity would actually be teaching someone today. When we see how in right at the very beginning of the chapter here, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then you see how in verse number 4, he kind of repeats some of the things. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's this issue of where Paul's talking about individuals and this aspect of walking after the Spirit, and talk about how, and especially when we look at verse 1, where he's talking about there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and then puts it as a fact of who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So if a person is walking after the Spirit, then they have no condemnation. Now, the opposite side of that is the fact that if a person was walking that way, then they would have condemnation. And this is where you get into those discussions that individuals start having about a person's practical life, and they'll start talking about how a person shifts back and forth in their life between walking after the Spirit and walking after the flesh, and how every time they do something that's wrong, that they are walking after the flesh. Now, according to what the Apostle Paul just said here, that if a person was walking after the flesh, there would be condemnation towards them. And we can see how there is, if we go down here to verse number 8, where Paul makes it very clear. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And here's the reality of this thing of somebody saying that they could be in the flesh, is that the Spirit would not be in them. And if the Spirit's not in them, they cannot please God. And the only thing that could result would be condemnation. So when somebody is teaching the aspect of that somebody could walk in the flesh, they're either talking about the fact that somebody has not been saved, or that somehow they could lose their salvation. And we know it's impossible for somebody to lose their salvation today, because Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 talk about how we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that we're kept in the position of being a member of the body of Christ, kept in a position of being saved, identified in Him, seen as His righteousness, all of those things that the Apostle Paul promises and says of what it is that is true of us, that's all true. But there's an aspect of, okay, how is it that we are supposed to live our life based on this? If it's a thing of where we could do the wrong things, and we all know that we can, just based on how we live our life. And that's where we'll see, if we go over to Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to see how Paul's going to get into a discussion here about some of these practical things here related to this sanctification. And here in Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to see here, we'll start at verse number 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we can already see a difference of how individuals teach this idea compared with what the scriptures actually say on it. Because individuals talk about how a person can walk in the flesh, and Paul makes it very clear, it's that he's telling an individual to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the true aspect is not that I'm flipping back and forth between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. It's the aspect of I'm either walking in the Spirit, which is means I'm doing the things that are pleasing unto God according to the doctrine that has been given to us in this dispensation, or I'm not walking at all. So I've come to a standstill, and the result of the standstill is that I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh. In the eyes of God, the flesh has already been declared dead. It's been circumcised in that spiritual circumcision away from who we are. Yet the reality of things is we still walk around in these fleshly bodies. We still are tempted by things, the lust of the flesh that comes up. And we see how we're going to come back to the book of Galatians, but if we go over to Titus chapter number 2, and a passage that we, you know, focus on many times with it, because this talks about what the reality of things and how it is that we know what it is that we are supposed to do. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 11 and read down through verse 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So Paul is saying about how it's the grace of God that's going to be teaching us these things. So it's the grace of God that's going to give us the information that we're going to need to tell us about how it is that we're going to walk in the Spirit, how it is that we're going to be functioning properly. It's the grace of God that's going to give us the information that we need to be able to avoid the lust of the flesh. And it's only the information that we find in Romans through Philemon that's going to give us the information related to the grace of God, because we know that the grace of God was given to the Apostle Paul. So even though I might be able to find information in Genesis through Malachi or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Hebrews through Revelation that would actually say some things about how it is that somebody is supposed to live their life, those are not to be the passages that would actually motivate me to be doing the right thing in the eyes of God. So if I'm using Exodus chapter number 20 to talk about why it is that I shouldn't steal or why I shouldn't kill or why I shouldn't do certain things, now there are things that God doesn't want me to do, but if those are the verses that I'm using to actually say I'm not going to do this, the reality is it's not pleasing unto God because it's not according to his doctrine. It's going to be things that are actually appealing to the flesh on things. And that's really what the law was focused on, trying to bring the flesh into a right standing with God, where the grace of God works on the inner man to be able to give the information that's needed and have that transformation occurring and the doctrine coming in to where a person is doing the things that are pleasing unto God. That's why you see the Apostle Paul get into the practical things in his epistles. And the practical things are really a lot of where, individuals today, most of the teaching isn't on the practical things. Most of the teaching is on the doctrinal things and getting somebody to have that doctrine with the idea of that they're built, if the doctrine's being built up, the practical side of things will come along with it. The reality is we should have some focus on those practical things, especially when Paul is spending as much time as he is in his epistles focusing on the practical things of how a person is supposed to be living their life. That's why you see, Paul list out, for example, in Ephesians chapter number 4, a number of things that a person who is a member of the body of Christ should be doing in their life if they're going to be pleasing unto God. Now, back here in Galatians 5, we see how Paul continues on with this. Pick up here in verse number 17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the aspect of what Paul's getting into is the fact of that these are the things that are the works of the flesh. These are the lusts of the flesh, the things that are going contrary to the doctrine that's been given us, contrary to how it is that we should be functioning. Now, the flesh wants a person doing these things. And, you know, the whole world system is set up not to appeal to the spirit. The world system is set up to appeal to the flesh to get a person doing these things which are running contrary to what it is that the Word of God actually says. And that's why you have these contrasts being brought up. And then you see how Paul, verse 22, is going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So there's even that challenge that comes up of how if we live in the Spirit, and that's how it is that we are living our life. And there's a contrast between how the word "if" is used in, you know, the Old Testament under the law, because "if" is a thing of, you know, there of, you know, if you do this, then this is going to happen. Now, Paul will use it as a challenge statement. He uses it the same thing, for example, in Colossians 3 when he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Writing to a believer, a believer is risen with Christ. So it's a challenge of, if this is true of you, you need to do this. The same thing here. If we live in the Spirit, that's where our life actually is. We've been quickened in the Spirit. So the challenge is now, okay, if this is who you are, you need to walk in the Spirit. You need to do the things that are lining up with the sound doctrine, that are lining up to where you can be pleasing unto God by following the things that are laid out. And, you know, this is sounding so simple, but the reality of things is that this is a hard thing to do, because the natural man is opposed to the things of God. And for most individuals, you know, they lived a number of years prior to their salvation and have only a few years of the doctrine coming in. And this is why the focus needs to be on the keep getting the doctrine coming in, so that way a person can have that growth occurring, so that way they can be doing the things that are pleasing unto God, and also function as, let's go over into the book of Philippians. Here we're going to see how Paul's going to make a statement here in the book of Philippians, when he says here in chapter number 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, as Paul speaking to these saints in Philippi, he's talking about how one of the things that they need to do is that they need to be functioning as these lights in the world, shining, the running against the things of the crooked and perverse nation. So, you know, there should be, as that sanctification is occurring, when somebody is looking at us, there should be a definite difference between us and the things of this world, to where we are shining as a light, to where individuals would want to come unto us to find out, you know, what it is that makes us this different. You know, you had in, you know, the book of Isaiah talks about how the Gentiles, as the kingdom is being set up, that the Gentiles will be flowing onto the light of the nation of Israel, because they're going to see how they have all those blessings. So it's going to be something that's going to be visibly evident, and they're going to want to come unto it. The same thing of where, as we are living our life, individuals should see that difference and want to actually say, okay, maybe I want to have those same things too. And then trying to figure out how it is that they can have those same things. Because the world really loves to see someone that's identified as a Christian fail. And when they see that, then it becomes, well, see, you're no better than the rest of us. And, you know, that's why, you know, Christianity is a sham, and all the different things that individuals will start talking about, because they're focused on those things. We, as the members of the body of Christ, having Christ living in us and through us, what we talked about last, the end of last time in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, if we have that going on, then we can be those lights unto the rest of the world, showing how it is that God is actually working today. And if we're living that life, it can also be that door of utterance, the thing that we should be praying for, of those opportunities to be wanting to share the gospel with someone. Because if somebody is seeing how it is that we're living based on the doctrine that's been given to us, they're going to ask questions about why it is that we're doing certain things, which then gives us the opportunity to share the gospel message with them today. Now, we're going to close on that note, and we're going to pick up with a continuation of looking at verse number 3 next time. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.